This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So if you're just joining us, I'm going to be facing the camera here because I'm live on Zoom, inshallah. But I'm so glad you're with me and I pray it's going to be beneficial knowledge. Jazakumullahu khairan. Always a pleasure coming on live with you, inshallah. Okay. So my camera is off. If you see I'm quiet, I am so sorry. For those who are just joining us on Instagram, I'm doing a live on Zoom right now with Micah Nigeria. So if you want to join the Zoom, just look for my story, click on the link there and hop on onto the Zoom platform. Otherwise, I'm taking a risk doing this and I don't want you to feel ignored. I've muted myself and I've switched off my camera, which is why I can speak to you. So my silence is because I'm waiting to hear what questions they're going to ask or tell me to start. So please don't go anywhere, inshallah. So the facilitator is doing a Q&A right now and asking the audience to share what they want me to talk about during this session, inshallah. So she's doing the introduction and then we're going to start. So bear with me, don't go anywhere, inshallah. I've got a lot of goodies in store for you. I pray some of the gems that I will share will be of benefit to you, inshallah. So thank you for joining me. So she has said that we're going to start in 1 minute, so don't go anywhere, inshallah. We will start in 1 minute, all right? I see many people just joining us, so let me give you a bit of a background. I'm going live with Micah Nigeria. We're on Zoom right now. My camera is off, my mic is off, so I can speak to you. But for your benefit, in case you don't get to join that platform, I'm trying to make sure I do this simultaneously. So thanks for joining me on live on Instagram. However, if you click on my story, you can actually join us on the Zoom or go to their YouTube channel and join us live there as well, inshallah. But always great having you. May Allah bless you all in the best manner. Jazakumullahu khairan for showing up. I've not been on Instagram in a while. There's always so much going on, so much drama in my life, inshallah. Oh, I'll be quiet. I'm about to be introduced, so. All right, Jazakumullahu khairan. Thank you so much, Micah. It's always a pleasure whenever the opportunity arises and you invite me to talk. I've always promised myself I'll do my best to make myself available. May Allah bless you for the knowledge that you are sharing and the impact that you're making, inshallah, in the lives of so many. I am going to dive right in. We're going to be talking about what it takes to make a successful union and how marriages fail today. And sadly, as a relationship consultant, this is the reality my husband and I face every single day. So why do marriages? One of the questions that was asked before we actually started this Zoom, I got a list of questions from the organizers that they wanted me to cover. So I'm going to start with those, and then I'm going to go into what makes a marriage work and why are so many marriages failing. So why do marriages that seem to be looking so perfect in the eyes of so many, why are many marriages that seem so strong failing? Well, one thing I caution people is the grass is not often greener on the other side. Much of what we see is what folks want us to see. Our perception may not be the reality. I always caution people, don't ever compare your relationship. Don't look at others and say, oh, it's the perfect marriage. Be very careful. You know, what basically is happening if you find a marriage that in your opinion seems to be on solid ground start to crumble is that probably certain key things were not in place. Like my husband and I, we have a code of conduct for our marriage, and that is what we use to keep us grounded in the relationship. And like you all know, code of conduct, anywhere you go, in work, anywhere, is basically certain rules and guidelines that keep people in order, so to speak. So we have ours, and most often if you find a relationship is not working, probably certain things haven't been put in place, guidelines for how they will behave, how they will conduct themselves, maybe when they're angry and so on. But I'll go into code of conduct later on. And then most often you find if a relationship that seems to be so perfect is crumbling, is that the couple ignored the red flags, or they swept certain important issues under the rug, or they may have bottled up some issues and one day they became like a pressure cooker and they exploded. So ignoring red flags, in other words, certain bad behavior that comes up in relationships, again, the code of conduct would put those kind of things in check. Let me use myself as an example. My husband and I promised that however angry we get, however upset we get, we're never gonna be disrespectful to each other. So we're going to disagree. That one is allowed. I'm entitled to my opinion and so is he, but we're not going to be disagreeable. And then minor irritations, like my father describes it, probably in that kind of relationship, there were minor irritations, again, that were ignored. And he would say minor irritations with major consequences. And then another reason why sometimes relationships that seem to be perceived as perfect crumble is maybe they became stagnant. Maybe they didn't bring fresh things to make the relationship evolve or upgrade the relationship. There was boredom. And sadly, boredom is a recipe for disaster in anybody's life, worse in marriage. And like my brother describes it, water that sits still starts to smell. So be very careful with certain routines that, you know, you haven't refreshed. It's always good. Even as Muslims, we're meant to constantly be pushing ourselves to improve and upgrade ourselves. The next question is, can personality differences ruin a relationship? Can personality differences ruin a marriage? Well, my husband and I are like night and day. We literally are very, very different personality-wise. We had different upbringings. My husband was more serious, whereas me, I'm the cheeky, very playful, very naughty one. I'm the more, you know, outspoken, and I'm more bubbly and talkative and a chatterbox. My husband is more, you know, dignified and composed. So when it comes to personality differences, our personalities are very different, but we have chosen to take those differences and make it an asset. I have picked up a lot of his good virtues, his good qualities, and alhamdulillah, he has also accepted some of the ones that I have shared with him. So as long as one is not so rigid, so what the question is, can personality differences ruin a marriage? Well, if you are rigid, if you are set in your ways, if you are inflexible, unfortunately, yes, it can. You know, we were able to sort out our differences, which at the beginning was also part of the root cause of a lot of our problems. My husband husband being the eldest of 26 kids, and my mother only had two children. So you can imagine, like, we came from such very diverse backgrounds. And so he being at the top of the chain, and I was almost like three from the bottom, because obviously my father was a polygamist and I had half siblings, but still, it was quite different, alhamdulillah. And then again, cultural differences. My parents, my mother was British, my father was Nigerian. So there were different cultures. My father grew up in the village, in Lemu, yes. So he was very traditional in his upbringing. Whereas my mom, she was the adventurous one, the frisky one, so to speak. But alhamdulillah, my father, I saw he adopted a lot of her cultural norms that suited the relationship. And my mom learned about, you know, the African culture of respect and certain traditional norms that also were very beautiful. My dad did not let culture rule over religion. And I think that was something that was very, very critical. Sometimes we are so stuck in our traditions and cultures that we allow it to have power over our faith. And that's where it can ruin your relationship. So you just have to be flexible and you have to be willing to adjust. The third question is, what keeps a marriage intact in time of tribulation. So when the relationship is rocky or when things get hot or tough, for me, it's faith, honestly. Having faith in Allah, trusting Allah as Muslims, we're all meant to have those values. We're all meant to abide by, you know, have that taqwa, knowing that whatever trials or difficulties we face are from Allah. And so we have to be on a mission to try and hold on tight to Allah's robe and overcome those challenges. Another thing as Muslims we're expected to have is also hope and optimism. Be prayerful, pray to Allah, but be optimistic that He has accepted your prayers. So what keeps a marriage intact in times of difficulty? Faith, hope and optimism, love for one another, compassion. Never lose sight of your spouse's endearing qualities, perseverance. I often know that many people tell us before we get married, we're meant to be patient, patient, patient. I said, yes, patient to see the results of your patience, of your efforts, but it has to be mutual. Patience to see mutual input and inshallah, mutual output. So my husband and I went through over six turbulent years. We had terrible fights. We went through emotional roller coaster, pain, anguish, disappointment. We hurt each other. You know, at one point I wanted out. I wanted a divorce. But alhamdulillah, we were able to fight to make it work. If we keep our eyes on the target, like my husband always kept his eye on the target. He said later on when we were talking about it that he never wanted a divorce. He always had the big picture and he had more sense than me. So he was patient enough to continue working and trying to find a way for us to meet and make things work. So alhamdulillah, that is another quality that has helped during the turbulent times make our marriage stay and make our marriage survive almost, you know, 32 years, alhamdulillah. But today you see the tragedy that a lot of relationships, couples are very flighty. They want results without effort and sadly expect instant gratification, you know, especially because of the IT culture, the social media culture. You click a button and you get a result. You go on Google, you know, ChatGPT, you get instant results without effort from a click of a button. And unfortunately, that does cause disappointment. You have unrealistic expectations because you're expecting more than what realistically a relationship can give you. It takes time to adjust for good things to happen, for you to do the right thing, for your spouse to respond accordingly, and for the relationship to grow and develop and for it to mature. And then, of course, the challenge with social media today is there's just too much comparison. And you find we're expecting our relationships to be similar to the Joneses, but we are not them. And like I said at the beginning, it's our fantasy, it's our expectation or belief that theirs is good. It may just be what they choose to present to us. So one has to be very careful. There is no turbulent-free marriage. For me, turbulence is actually good. Fights are actually good. What is important is to make sure you fight with good manners. And if you think about it, if you fight with good manners, you won't fight. So I call it the art of fighting without fighting. It takes a lot of strength a lot of courage, a lot of work to make a marriage work. So one has to prepare oneself for turbulence. It is so important. And there has to be better mutual understanding. Both have to be open-minded enough to be willing to adjust and listen. For me, it reminds me of what I don't want to see. When I think back, like today, I think back to how bad things got between Saeed and I don't want to go back down that road. So I make sure when things are rough that I quickly try and find a solution to it. And alhamdulillah, my husband responds in kind. I don't want to go back there. So we disagree, but we choose not to be disagreeable. Another question that the organizers asked me is, who is responsible for marital failure? Well, honestly, that is subjective. I can picture the men in their house saying it's the women, and the women are saying it's the men. Honestly, it's subjective. In my marriage, we both had our faults. And I think that's the reality in most relationships. Most marriages do have both couples contributing to marriages failing. I counseled a couple recently where the wife was the problem. My husband and I is counseling a couple right now who, and the man, like he was sharing with me, he absolutely doesn't see his fault. Everything is the woman's fault. But when you even hear the way he speaks with arrogance, with superiority, and so on, it's like, your ego is also a big problem, which is what is making her react to your bad behavior. I've counseled a couple where the wife was the problem. She was nagging, unappreciative. The man kept complaining that little things I give her, she compares it to what someone else's husband gave his wife and checks the value of it. And then she raises issues, important issues at the wrong time, you know, and unfortunately he got tired of the fights, which is why he chose to go out. And there was another scenario. Sorry, I just got a phone call. I need to quickly disconnect this because I'm okay. Great. And we also have had a situation where the wife refused to, absolutely refused to open her heart and love her husband and allow him to love her, simply because her mom was divorced, her aunts were divorced, and they had all told her, be careful, men are users, men will let you down, men will disappoint you. And this man reached out hurt and, you know, like, I'm dying to love her and I'm dying to be loved back, but she refuses to open, she refuses to be vulnerable. She's got this wall, this shield up. And unfortunately, it's getting to the stage where things are really, really bad. So it's important that we always know that it depends. You can't point fingers in one direction and say this one is responsible. For both cases, sometimes you find the ego is a problem, or you're married to a narcissist, or your spouse is turning the kids against you. Someone told the wife after he had married the second wife that, and she had six kids with him, that he has married a second wife. So if you talk about why marriages break up, and who is responsible, really it's subjective. Then of course, infidelity. So the answer to the question is of who is responsible, it really depends on the couple. Sometimes it's what they saw that they replicated, what their parents did that they replicated, thinking that is the formula for a successful marriage. And then many got married for the wrong reasons. If you say, you know, who is responsible? Well, unfortunately, it depends on the reason why you got married, because some people get married because of wealth. They want money. And you get married for that reason. All the money in the world will not give you peace of mind, will not give you happiness, will not fulfill you emotionally. And we have needs bigger than money in a relationship. Don't get me wrong, money is good, but that's also a big thing. And then situations where men don't fulfill their responsibilities, that is also another reason why marriages fail. Many didn't have premarital counseling, and I'm a huge advocate of that, because a lot of the problems we see that my husband and I deal with, you realize the lack of premarital counseling was probably behind it, because they didn't know what to look out for. They were too in love and blinded by love that unfortunately they ignored the warning signs, with the mistaken belief that, oh, we will fix it afterwards, or our love will sustain us. Well, it doesn't. So this is just a reality. So who's responsible? Honestly, one just has to look in the mirror and take ownership of the role they played in making a relationship work. But I don't believe in pointing fingers, because really situations are different. Another question that was asked by the organizers is, when should one opt out of a marriage? Very good question. When should one walk away from a relationship? For me, it's when you are broken, when you feel you're being depleted, when there is physical abuse, when there is danger, when your mental health is at risk. You're not meant to go crazy in a relationship, and today many are going crazy in the relationship. When children are at risk, when children become witnesses of serious dysfunction in a relationship, because there is a strong risk that the children will recycle what they've seen, because you are the model they have. They grow up believing this is the norm. So if they see a husband that has been broken and abused by his wife, or vice versa, if they have a son, he may believe that's what happens. That's okay. I can do the same with my wife, or my wife can do that to me, and for the girl as well. So the risk of recycling, it's so important we are very careful. Marriage in Islam is where we're meant to dwell in tranquility. Dwell means to live. If in Islam Allah uses such words like dwell in tranquility, it means we're meant to live in tranquility, with peace in our hearts, you know, with our mate, with our buddy, with our best friend, with our companion, our confidant, our lover. Anything other than that is not marriage in Islam. We must not forget that our spouse and our kids are our witnesses before Allah. And part of the rights of couples in Islam is love and respect. Yes. And unfortunately, that is missing in so many homes. Allah has already said He has put mawadda wa rahma. He has put love and mercy in our hearts. Not He's going to if we attain a level of piety, but that He is going to put love. He has put love and mercy in our hearts. So we need to be very, very conscious that we will answer to Him if we do not practice that. It's a gift that's been given to us by Allah. And that if our kids miss seeing a good example in us as a couple, they will do amebo before Allah and tell Allah what they saw, that we were part of what made them dysfunctional, what made them insecure, what made them recycle history. And unfortunately, we end up getting commission for their sins. If they get damaged, if they hurt somebody else, we get commission for that. If we mess them up, we get commission for that before Allah, because they are our witnesses. We're not meant to be miserable in marriage. We're not meant to go through persecution. And in Islam, persecution is worse than slaughter. Imagine. Persecution, putting someone through torment, is worse than killing that person. That is not marriage in Islam. And so to me, to answer the question, when do you walk away, is if you've exhausted all options of trying to make peace, trying to find a resolution, bringing in intervention to try and help save your marriage, trying everything possible. If you find after doing everything in your power, it's not working and you are moving backwards, you're depleting, you're being broken, then do your istikhara and make a decision to leave the relationship, and don't stay because of the children. You're actually doing them a disservice if you think you're staying while they're witnessing such terrible things as an example by the two of you. This is not the jihad that we're going to get extra rewards for or bonus for points for from Allah. Allah is not impressed with us sacrificing ourselves for marriage to suffer. A good marriage and a good home ensures the continuity of the ummah. That's what Allah wants from us when we get married, is to build a beautiful community, to build a beautiful ummah. And a bad marriage and a bad home can destroy society and can destroy the ummah. And we are seeing it today. Our children are leaving the faith because they're not seeing the beauty of Islam in the home. The next question is, should one stay in with an unfaithful partner? Ha, this is a big question. Should one stay with an unfaithful partner? This is a tough one. The reality really is it depends on the individual and the circumstances. One thing my husband and I have learned over the years is many know their spouse is being unfaithful, but they choose to ignore it or pretend they don't even know. Sometimes they talk about it. They know it's happening with their spouse, but they choose to ignore it. Some have decided that this is their lot in life, because a lot of people today will say, you know what, just accept this is a reality. Our spouses will be unfaithful to us. This should not be. This isn't marriage in Islam. Zina is a breach of a contract, not just between you and your spouse, but between you and Allah. So some people who say he cheated on me or she cheated on me, actually they cheated themselves. My husband always emphasizes this. No, they cheated themselves, because no adulterer, even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, no adulterer is a believer at the time when he is committing adultery. This is narrated by Al-Bukhari and Al-Muslim. No adulterer is a believer at the time when they are committing adultery. And zina is a major sin. But if someone asks Allah for forgiveness and admits that they have wronged their spouse, they have wronged themselves, they've wronged their family, and are willing to truly stop it and make sure they keep away from the triggers that take them back to that disgusting habit, then inshallah, Allah will forgive them. And that may be when a spouse, when they see the sincerity, they will choose to stay. But the betrayal from that is very, very hard to rebuild. And unfortunately, that's the damage that sometimes is almost impossible to fix, you know. So this is with regard to, of course, when I say it's a major sin, your relationship with Allah, but the effects of zina on the relationship, the risks of bringing a disease home to yourself or to your spouse, right there you're going to have to answer to Allah for it if you end up causing a terrible problem to your spouse that they cannot fix. It affects their mental health. Right there you get commission for that. And then, of course, the worst is you find out the shame when the kids also find out, how it ruins the whole family, how they hang their head low, you know. So the decision to stay or not really depends on the person, the individual. Again, it's a subjective question. What I believe is if the offending spouse genuinely admits and regrets their actions, seeks forgiveness, do your istihara and decide whether you want to stay or not. And of course, they must do their tawbah with Allah, but don't be a fool. Don't be one of those who they keep saying sorry, yet they go back to their old ways. They keep lying and betraying you. I mean, Allah was the witness when we invoked his name during the nikah. So who are they fooling at the end of the day? The next question is the impact of parents' marriages on the marriages of their children. So what is the impact of our parents' marriages on our marriages and on our marriages and our children? This makes a huge impact. This has a huge impact. Our parents' relationship, what we saw, has a huge influence on us, because many of us copy and paste what we saw. And sadly, many don't know the implications of how they related with each other on their children. I believe, and my husband and I say this a lot, many parents get it wrong. Unfortunately, they will still have to answer to Allah for getting it wrong, because ignorance is not an excuse. Sometimes we went through something we detested growing up. We saw one parent miserable, or one parent oppressed, or one parent the oppressor, and we yet go and repeat it, yet we knew we didn't like it. And sadly, if our kids see it in us, they will replicate it. So what are they seeing? And what will they tell Allah of what they are seeing in the home right now? So pray for your parents if they got it wrong, but make sure you do not recycle generational curses like that of dysfunction, of abuse, of exploitation, you know, of depleting your spouse. I ask couples, and this is a question I ask you to ask one another today, is, are you okay if Allah called you home today? Are you okay with your children replicating what they're seeing in the two of you right now in the home? Are you fine with that? The best gift a parent can give their children, especially if their parents didn't get it right, and if they know their marriage is not as good as it should be, not the right model, is they should give their children premarital counseling. They should try and make sure they find from a credible source someone whose marriage is working, who will be able to hopefully change the narrative and give them the tools they need to hopefully make their own marriages work. So those are the questions that have been sent to me ahead of time, but we'll be doing Q&A at the end. Now let me talk to you about what it takes to make a successful union and how marriages fail today. Why marriages fail today? Well, there are, of course, so many reasons and so many factors. I wrote a list of some of the things, and I think one of them is people get married for the wrong reason. They go into marriage ill-prepared. They don't have the right tools and skills needed to navigate the obstacles of marriage. Like I said earlier, they also didn't see an example, so they don't know what they're doing, you know. So that to me is one of the main reasons, but not the number one, and I'll share the number one with you. Another reason why a lot of marriages fail is selfishness. Unfortunately, some allow their egos not to be checked, and you will hear from so many couples, and when my husband and I counsel so many couples, we realize ego is the issue. So if an ego is unchecked, too big an ego makes you arrogant and proud. Too low an ego makes you have a low self-esteem. So regulate it. Make sure it's in the middle. Know that you are human, you're fallible, you are so not perfect. Another thing why a lot of marriages fail is you find there's arrogance and superiority. Whether it's financial superiority, you find the wife bragging that her parents are rich, they're the ones who helped you get a job. We're dealing with that case right now. That's one of the couples we are dealing with, where the wife's family were responsible for helping the husband get a job and get a car, send them for Hajj, send them food items, and she is lauding that and using it when they fight to make him feel small. Then you have those who have spiritual superiority, who are arrogant because they know more. They act like they know Allah, they've seen Allah, and they feel they can quote scriptures, and that makes them superior to their spouse. And this is one of the reasons why you find a lot of marriages deteriorate. Then there's intellectual superiority. I've shared this in so many lectures where we have a case where the woman went on to pursue up until, I think it was a PhD, and the man stayed on the husband was on his first degree. And in a conversation, he was complaining that, imagine, as she's explaining something to him, she'll say, oh, you won't understand. So you also have that kind of intellectual superiority. I mean, all this is packaged as the Shaitan syndrome. I'm better than you. And if you have that attitude or mentality in marriage, it will destroy your marriage. And then, like I said before, another reason is you are so rigid. You're so fixed. You have a fixed mindset. You're okay the way you are. You're not willing to grow. You're not willing to evolve. You're not willing to change what lies within you. And when you're so rigid, it's often it's your way or the highway. You're not flexible, and that doesn't help any relationship. Now, number one for me, I think, as to why a lot of marriages fail, is Allah is missing. There's no fear of Allah and no desire to please Allah. Marriages are failing because we do not fulfill our obligations to our spouse. We're not willing to learn what is it Allah expects of us in our relationship. And unfortunately, many husbands are dropping the ball. They lose respect from their spouses because one of their responsibilities as a husband, as a leader of the home, is they are meant to bear responsibilities of everything to do with upkeep, food, health. Basically, they are responsible for the children and their spouse. And today you find a lot of women are the ones paying the school fees. They are the ones bearing responsibilities that are not meant for them to bear. They pay the rent, they pay the food, education, health. And men aren't taking on the role as the true leaders of the home. Women lose respect. I cannot lose respect for my husband because he has a vision. He respects himself. He fulfills his obligations based on the Sharia. And alhamdulillah, he adds gyara for me. And on top of that, he is compassionate. He is caring. I will follow him anywhere he wants me to go. He has earned his stripes. He has earned my respect. So why many homes are crumbling today is because folks are not taking their responsibilities. You have to take charge of your flock. You must have self-respect, and then it comes. But wives are also dropping the ball. They're not fulfilling their obligation under Sharia that they owe their spouse. They're freestyling the relationship. They are competing with others. They are showing off. They have this desire, I call it too much muchness, you know. But for me, I believe in the philosophy of less is more. They don't take permission before they do things. You owe your husband that. You must take his permission under Sharia. It is his right. You can't just get out and go freestyle wherever you want. This is one of the things that my husband is counseling a couple on right now. And we were talking about that. The husband kept complaining that she just gets up and goes. Even if it's to her parents' house, she just gets up and goes without permission. But you must let your spouse know where you're going, and he should be okay with it. And you can't allow somebody into a home that your spouse is not comfortable with. Again, this is for both parties. So one has to be aware what are their obligations to their spouse and fulfill it. Why? Because if you don't, you are violating an agreement that you went with when you invoked Allah to be present for your nikah. And it is part of why marriages are breaking. The lack of fear of Allah offending him and the desire to please him. Another reason why so many marriages are failing is because we don't set boundaries. We don't protect our spouses from outsiders. And I'll go into that a bit later. Then another reason is we do polygamy the wrong way. I gave you the example of a lady who found out 2 weeks after her husband had gotten married to another woman that he had taken on another wife. And she's like, you know what? After giving you 6 kids, after the life we've had of over 20 years of marriage, this is what you do. What did I do that is so bad that deserved this kind of treatment? It brings resentment. It makes the kids resentful. It does not leave room for a beautiful home to be nurtured, for it to flourish, and a beautiful ummah. And then another reason why marriages don't work is couples grow in the wrong direction. They grow separately. If you grow separately, you grow apart. It's as simple as that. Then another thing, another reason is because of bad manners. Bad manners in how we speak, how we fight, how we talk. I often tell people, fights do not destroy a marriage. Bad manners, how we fight is what will destroy a marriage. Then another reason is infidelity, which is at an all-time high. Infidelity. You find this is destroying homes today. Then lack of sexual satisfaction and boredom. Like I said, boredom is a recipe for disaster. And a lot of couples are engaging in infidelity because they are not being fulfilled in the home. And sadly, because of our devices, we now have zina. We do zina of the eyes. We do commit haram by looking at things we're not supposed to do. Pornography is at our fingertips. We have privacy to be able to go and watch something that is haram. And it's destroying the homes because it creates these fantasies and unrealistic expectations that professional actors have done take one, take two, take 10. And we expect our spouse to do all those stunts, and they can't. And many are getting and turning to masturbation, which is destroying again people's their self-esteem. It makes you feel disgusted with yourself. It creates more watery semen for the men and for the woman. Lack of sexual satisfaction. Her husband is not able to satisfy her. Neither is the woman able to satisfy her husband. Another reason why homes are falling apart is social media. We compare. We're comparing our spouse to everything and everyone out there. We're comparing our marriages, we're comparing our homes, we're comparing our children to those that others put on social media. And unfortunately, it brings this lack of contentment. Now, there are so many more reasons why marriages are failing, but let me go into what does it take to make a successful union. And like I said, the number one reason why marriages are failing is the lack of love for Allah, the desire to please Him. And what makes a marriage successful is Allah first in everything we do. Holding on tight to Allah's rope. We are losing our faith. We are losing our taqwa, unfortunately. And there is a deliberate campaign for that to happen. We need to be very conscious of the effects of what we are watching and what is subliminally being fed to us in how we relate our relationship with our Maker. We need to hold on tight. Hold on tight to Allah's rope. And not just the rituals, not just the praying, the fasting, the zakat. Sadly, we have folks who pray, they fast, they do the zakat, they go and visit the sick, they feed their neighbor. But their house is on fire. They are evil. They are tyrants. They are terrorists in their homes. That is not Islam. Everything is meant to be translated into action. The beauty of our faith, if we love Allah enough, wallahi, we will have good adab. Good adab. Our words that come out of our mouths will be beautiful because that is Islam. Some do terrible things, yet they don't miss their salat. They do the Monday and Thursday fast. They do those extras. Yet, put all those extras together, the fasting, zakat, umrah, or hajj, and visit the sick, everything. Imagine that is half of our deen. Fulfilling our obligations to our spouse is taking the other half. Yet we are not practicing that like we practice our Ramadan. Imagine right now, everybody has started booting for Ramadan. Everybody has started remembering, creating Ramadan journals, Ramadan goals. What are the extras I'm going to do to get the reward? Well, guess what? All those constitute half with the prayer, with all the other goodness of Islam. The other half, we don't practice it the way we practice Islam. That fulfilling our obligation to our spouse is what completes the other half. Imagine if we could just change how we see our marriage. And wallahi, I will tell you, because we are living it right now, that is the foundation for a happy home. If you fulfill, that is the basics. You fulfill your obligation to your spouse. That is both of you, because it takes the two. If you both fulfill your obligations to one another, wallahi, I am promising you this, wallahi, Allah will bless your union, inshallah. You will see a tremendous difference. Go back to basics. If you don't know, we've talked to couples who've been married for over 50 years and they do not know their obligations, but ignorance is not an excuse. I always warn people, be very careful. That thing that constitutes half of your religion, half of your ibadah, you are bankrupt. You need to go back and know, what does the deen, what does Allah expect of you in marriage? And what examples does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set for us in the examples of how he related with his spouse Khadija radiallahu anha when he was a monogamist and when he became a polygamist after she passed away? How did he relate with his spouse? What about the compassion? What about the playfulness? What about the romantic prophet? That is missing in homes today. How did his spouses speak to him? Women are behaving badly. Men are behaving badly in marriage. Stop nitpicking the parts of the sunnah that are convenient to you that you want to practice. That is not Islam. So work on keeping each other on the sirat al-mustaqim of your marriage. Work on constantly reminding each other. Every day, my husband will send me quotes, beautiful videos that remind me, things that he feels are relevant to our relationship. He sends it to me and I do the same with him. Sometimes we sit and discuss. Sometimes I ask him a question. So why does Islam say this? And we go. He's so good at going and researching and he gives me the answers. We did it just last night. I asked him a question. I say, I don't know the logic behind this. I don't know the Maqasid Sharia on so many things. But wallahi, I at least know that my husband will guide me. And on things like he said, Maryam was my student once upon a time. Today she's my teacher in some areas. It's meant to be a symbiotic relationship. But you try to keep each other. If you see your spouse going astray, that's why for me, I worry for women or men who know their spouses are being unfaithful and they leave them. Because if you're not bringing them back onto that Sirat al-Mustaqim, onto that straight path, wallahi, Allah will ask you. We're not facing the right Qibla for our marriage. And if you are afraid of offending Allah and you want to please Allah, you will do everything in your power to get the knowledge, the prerequisite knowledge of what is marriage in Islam and what are the examples of Rasulullah. So for me, number one, fulfill your obligations to one another. Both are dropping the ball, unfortunately, in this area. Also, one question of what it takes to make a marriage work is many people disregard how important me, myself, and I are to the relationship. What do I mean by that? I'm looking for Mr. Right. And he's looking for Miss Right, right? I say, but you gotta be right. Miss Right is looking for Mr. Right. A Mr. Right is looking for Miss Right. Both of you need to be right. We need to be in order. We need to do the me, myself, and I. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been married. If you're watching today and you've been married for a gazillion years, it's okay. Start with yourself. Work on yourself first before you start pointing fingers, because that's the easiest thing to do, right? To point fingers. It's your fault. You started it. You're only mirroring bad behavior. Work on emotional intelligence. This is key. Work on self-awareness. This is key. I can promise you, if you just go on YouTube and check those two things as an assignment, how to become more emotionally intelligent, how to become more self-aware, it will help your relationship. Learn about your spouse's love language. Learn about your love language so you can communicate it. And I beg you, please, don't say this one now when you both style low. Wallahi, it works. Don't say this is, because even Allah says He ain't gonna change our condition unless we change what lies within us. So what lies within us that we need to change? What are our bad habits that are ruining our relationship? Another thing that will make your marriage work is have realistic expectations of marriage. Be careful with fantasies. Be careful, like I said, with comparison. Do your homework. Make sure you are also aware that you may be carrying baggage or childhood trauma or unhealed wounds or something you witnessed that wasn't pleasant that's actually damaged you. You need to reduce and shed that load before you go into a relationship. If you are already in a relationship and you are bleeding, you are hurting, find a solution, because that may be what's ruining your marriage. That's maybe what's holding you back from opening your heart. Like the lady I shared with you, she talked about her mom being divorced and she was so scared to be divorced. She was told by her mom, she was told by her aunts that, you know, be careful with men, don't trust men. So why are you in a marriage? It ends up becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you focused on not trusting, and guess what? You now repeated history. But it's baggage that she was carrying. She saw how unpleasant divorce looked like, but she was so scared of divorce, she ended up in that same position. Her marriage is on the rocks. So you gotta be aware and work on, heal. Go to therapy if you need to, find someone to counsel you, talk about it. Try talking about the baggage you're carrying with your spouse and let your spouse create a safe space where you can be vulnerable. You can open up. For men in particular, they carry a whole lot of load. And sadly, society tells them, oh, men are not meant to cry. Big boys don't cry. Men to man up. Unfortunately, you man up, you end up hitting hard. You end up becoming cold. You end up becoming hurtful. You end up transferring aggression. So you have to heal, you have to. For a marriage to work, you do need to shed some load. And then for the husband, you need to be adequately prepared to meet your financial responsibilities, because money is a big source of wahala in marriage. It's a big troublemaker. And under Sharia, the man being the head of the whole household, if you fulfill your responsibilities to your family, inshallah, that will reduce the risks of the relationship not going strong. Try and make sure you're financially independent, you're resourceful, you have multiple sources of income. However, I always tell the women, try and do the same and be supportive. Be supportive. It's not an obligation for you to contribute for household things, but sometimes you have the wife who wants to live a certain lifestyle. She wants a certain kind of thing. Hey, bring, add to what I have. I'm not going to go steal or rob a bank. I'm not going to commit an offense and offend Allah simply because you want to live a certain lifestyle. So it's important, though, we emphasize the role of taking care of the family and household responsibilities, children, feeding, shelter, medical, education is on the man. I remember before we got married, my husband said to me, Mariam, this is what I can say to you now. He said, what's mine is mine and what's his is ours. And that is Sharia, if you keep that in mind. But I do not tell my husband if I'm going to change a light bulb in the house. I do not tell my husband if the house girl says we don't have salad in the house or we don't have fruit. I do not go to him and say, oh yeah, oh God, bring kudi. I don't. I do what I need to do. I fuel my car, fuel the gen. It's my choice. Because the relationship is about a partnership. It's not a competition. But just let nobody lose that line. That line should never get fuzzy or blurry about whose responsibilities are what in the home. Another way to make your marriage strong is guard your marriage jealously by creating realistic, albeit protective, boundaries. One of the rights each of you has over each other is that you will protect one another. So you protect one another from family. In-laws can destroy a marriage, and they are. And you need to make sure you also set boundaries with outsiders, friends, relatives and friends. But you also need to set boundaries in the home. I keep telling people, be careful. Sometimes you may have your spouse says, oh, you women are like, I say, don't you women me. Oh, me, I'm not like everybody else. Don't be condescending. But I don't talk like that. I talk with better manners. It's like, did you mean to hurt me when you said that? Or I felt hurt by your words. Was that your intention? That's me setting boundaries. So again, if you maintain good adab in how you speak, you're able to set boundaries. The same thing with the children. You set boundaries in the home with the kids. Let them know their limits. You find a child today is acting like we're on the same level. Yes, it's good to enlighten them. It's good to allow them to flourish and grow and blossom. But me, I'm an African girl and I was raised with respect. I have to make sure my kids learn the same because tomorrow I won't be here. If they go and become jaga jaga in society and a menace to society simply because I spoon-fed them or I allowed them in the so-called words called enlightenment, and they become a problem for somebody else's daughter or son, and they become a problem parent, and they become a problem Muslim, I'll get commission. And seriously, that's not the kind of commission I want. So keep any kind of negative external interference at bay. I remember my husband telling my in-laws, and he's the eldest of 26 kids, so I got a lot of in-laws, right? And I remember he said to me that he told them that when the nikah was conducted, it was his name that was called, not theirs. So they have no rights over me. If they want anything from me, they should go through him. And wallahi, it set the foundation for us to forge a very healthy relationship. Mothers-in-law don't have a say in your relationship. They don't have a say in how many kids you should have, when you should start having kids. Your in-laws don't have a right to tell you which schools you must send your children to. That's why for me, I push people to be financially independent, because then you don't owe anybody. They don't pull the strings. I know what I'm saying is controversial. Many people don't want to hear, but guess what? I'm talking of religion over culture. When we are going to be judged before our Maker, he's going to judge us based on our faith, not based on our culture. So even if it is not sweet, though, Allah has told me to share this knowledge with you, because me too, I learnt. Another reason, or another thing you can do to make your marriage work is do like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Do shura, consult with one another. Make sure you do shura. Don't make decisions unanimously. Don't make decisions unilaterally, English. Don't make decisions without discussing with your family, with your spouse, and planning to do this, especially important decisions. You must carry each other along. That is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way. That was sunnah. And then another way, I'm using everything I'm sharing you, wallahi, are things we practice in the home now, which has helped us get to where we are today. Be sure to grow and learn together and have things that you do in common. My husband and I share new learning. Sometimes he doesn't want to join me in the hobbies or the things I want to do, but wallahi, he will sit and watch me do it. He will support me. But I come home and I watch my husband watching MasterChef, for God's sakes. There's nothing that feels so good. That's something I love to do. He even does when I'm not there. He just came back from out of town yesterday. He was away for 4 days. Well, like every day I watch football and he's not around, because I actually picture him sitting there and we're talking. And I picture him making the side comments, acting like he is the coach. He's the one who taught them. That's why they are messing up, you know? So for me, it just feels good that we have so much in common. We play tennis together. We share interests when it comes to charity acts. Yesterday, I did something and I told him when he came back, I said, oh, I gave this person this. They just had a baby. Just FYI. He said, oh, I'll do mine tomorrow. So this is what you need to do. Have things in common. No secrets. Well, I tell people, if you don't want my husband to know, don't tell me. I'm the biggest Ame boy in this house. I will tell him. Yes. Another thing you can do is share couples' goals. Try and have a goal. Like I said, I was thinking of divorce, but my husband kept his eye on the target. So it never lost sight of why we got married. Me, I was mumu. When we got married, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was a bumbling idiot. I admit it. Alhamdulillah, I am better now. I am reformed. I'm more intentional, more deliberate, but that wasn't who I was before. But we have people who've been married 20 years and they don't know where they're going. There is this quote that says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So where are you going in your relationship? Wherever you end up doesn't matter, because you didn't sit together and come up with a plan of action and a goal. So make sure you share goals for your marriage. Make sure you share your individual goals and ask your spouse to be your accountability partner, the one to support you and help you, and never lose sight of the big picture. Never lose sight of why you came together in the first place. When you get so angry, when you fight, You forget how fine your spouse looked. You forget how beautiful they were, how their eyes looked like the full moon of Shawwal, right? We forget all that. All we see sometimes, we even start seeing the face morph and deform. So try and have a big picture when it comes to certain areas. Spiritual goals, intellectual and mental goals, how you grow together intellectually. Have physical goals about staying fit, looking good, being healthy. Have social goals. Try and share friends. If you have friends that your spouse does not approve of, trust me, it's trouble waiting to happen. You'll be fighting over that. And it can be relatives as well that your spouse doesn't approve of. It's trouble. Try and make sure you have mutual friends. Have financial goals. Let me know what you are saving for so that I can support you. You can't have one is the spendthrift while the other one is frugal and you don't meet each other halfway. And then also have goals of service to Allah. Service so that long after you're gone, your book is not closed because you keep getting commission for the good you left behind. But try and do it together as much as you can. Another thing to make your marriage strong is be each other's biggest cheerleaders. Feed each other's spirit, feed each other's soul. Let your spouse look forward to coming home to you. Be the one that they know when they get good news, you're the first person that comes to mind that they want to share it with. Or if their heart is heavy, you are still the first person because you have what it takes to lighten their load. Then pray for each other's success. Pray for each other's good health. Pray for peace of mind. Pray for your marriage. That be each other's biggest cheerleader, I swear, makes you best friends. Feed the spirit. So like I said, fights are okay in marriage, but please to Allah, work on making sure you fight with dignity, you fight with respect, you don't raise your voice, you don't make your spouse feel small, you don't speak in a condescending way, watch your tone. All these things will help stabilize a relationship and then start helping the relationship grow. And then when it comes to communication, which is also one of the biggest reasons why marriages fail, poor communication, is work on effective listening, work on effective speaking, and work on timing. In short, communication. Work on being a good listener. Many times we are thinking of what we want to say while our spouse is talking, or we are distracted, you know, we're looking away, or we're looking at our watch, or we are tapping. We're not listening. And then effective speaking. Pick your words carefully. Make sure you say things that you would want to hear. You have to be very careful. Give what you're ready to receive. And then timing. Me, I was mumu. My husband, he's at work. I'll call him and I'll vent. He comes in and I start to talk. Hey, this thing has been disturbing me. Oh God, it didn't help. It never does. So timing. I started to make an appointment to fight and I would tell Said something is weighing me down. Something is bothering me and I want to talk. This is after trying many things that didn't work, but that helped. So learn effective communication. As I come to the end, work on being each other's best friends. Work on being married to your best friend. Because passion will come and go. Those sparks will not always be flying. Just never allow it to become ashes. Let the heat rise and fall. So that passion comes in seasons. There are times where your spouse looks so hot, so beautiful, so sexy. But there are times where, oh, they're all right, you know, but that's okay. Just make sure you are friends throughout. Let that be consistent. Your buddy, your best friend, your confidant, your companion. Like Allah said, we have created for you mates. And then remember to have kids for the sake of Allah and not for anybody else. Don't go into having children till you know why you want to have kids, so that you both agree on being together, raising the kids together. Don't give in to pressure from anyone to have kids. My husband talked about this before we got married. He said, Mariam, I have a bit of baggage I need to deal with. Right now, I'm not ready to be a father. And when he was ready to be a father, he looked at me. I was still mumu. We were still fighting. He said, you're not ready to be a mother either. And I want us to both be intentional parents. We waited, alhamdulillah, in our 7th year of marriage was when, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with our first child. But it was planned. So don't give in to pressure, because kids can make relationships worse. Me, what shocks me today, you find couples are fighting, but yet they keep popping kids like rabbits. With the mistaken belief that kids will make things better. It doesn't. It's being selfish. Those kids didn't ask to be born. You chose to have them. Allah blessed you with them. But you will have to answer to Allah for what they witnessed. So if they witnessed jaga jaga, that's what they will repeat. Most likely they will repeat it, but they will also tell Allah, that's what I saw. So don't give in to pressure when it comes to having kids. And discuss parenting before conception. If it is too late, try and go back to the drawing board now, because you don't be surprised. If one parent is doing all the work, there are lots of problems that are waiting to happen when it comes to parenting. Don't mess with this. Don't leave the responsibility of the upbringing of the kids to one parent. They were conceived by two, and that's how they should be raised, both of you, because both will answer to Allah if they give their kids, and they have rights over us. They have a right to tarbiyah, good upbringing. They have a right to a good education. They have a right to shelter. They have a right to be raised in a safe environment, and they have a right to be loved. Those are things Allah will ask us about. We keep lording over our kids that paradise is under the mother's feet or under the parents' feet. This is the consequence if you do not please your parents. Well, guess what? The key to Jannah may be under our feet, but the key to Jahannama may be under our children's feet if we do not do right by them. You have to be very careful when it comes to kids. What are they witnessing? Have arguments, disagree, but with respect, with the ultimate goal of finding a mutual resolution to the problem so that there's peace and harmony. Marriage is not about win-lose. I always say, if you want to win an argument while your spouse loses, you want to be married to a great big fat loser. I am sorry for you, that is not marriage. Then the fun stuff. Be adventurous in the bedroom. Physical intimacy is important for most men. More men than women. When it comes to physical intimacy, it's more important to men than women. My sisters, please lend me your ears. So look good for your spouse. Maintain yourself. Smell good. Smell good from top to toe. If you know what I mean, even where the sun don't shine, smell good and keep yourself fresh all the time. Trust me, you've got all the assets. He doesn't need to look outside. And then soften the edges. In this day and age of identity crisis and the feminism nonsense and rubbish and the hyper-masculinity rubbish out there and nonsense, for women, bring out your feminine A-game for your spouse. Some women are behaving like men in the homes. It may work fine in the banks or in your corporate world. Fine, you may need to put that on. I sometimes have to. But as you sight the door to your house, please to God, remove that uniform and come in with the assets Allah gave you and the gender Allah gave you, which is a woman. Today, sometimes you don't even know who is the man and who is the woman in the house. Like for me, honestly, it's just disturbing because you see the woman dominant and barking and aggressive. And I'm like, sister, take it easy. So to my sisters, please let's soften the edges. And then learn the bedroom acrobatics and fulfill his fantasies. There's a guy who was telling my husband that the reason why he committed zina was when he buys the sexy lingerie for his wife, she would say, I'm not a prostitute, I'm not going to wear that. And he used that as justification because those were fantasies he had, and it's halal. It is pure halal to bring your spouse's fantasies to life. So learn the bedroom acrobatics. To my dear brothers, I know the women are like, now you're talking, right? Let me just share something with you. Women make love emotionally while men make love more physically. Let me repeat that. Women make love emotionally. Some women can go months, even years without needing intimacy as in sex, without sexual intimacy, but they need intimacy. It's feeding her spirit that is making love to her. Listen to her without judgment. Hold her. Just hold her without going down the road you want to go to. Sometimes that's all she needs to feel wanted. Help her out. Lighten her load. Make her feel safe around you. Protect her. And what I mean protect her in every aspect. Be loyal and faithful to her. Be kind and show appreciation for even the littlest things she does. Now that is making love to a woman. And for most women, with sense, They will do anything for you. They will bring any halal fantasy of yours to life. But make sure she is also sexually satisfied according to her own needs. What do I mean by that? You may think what you are doing is what brings her pleasure. It may be something else, a different way, a different style. This is why communication is key. Communication for better mutual understanding, but for communication for better understanding of her intimacy needs and vice versa. So please don't be selfish. Don't be one of those wham bam, thank you ma'am, it's over, I roll over and sleep kind of men. Please know that she still has needs. And unfortunately, lack of sexual satisfaction in the home today is causing a lot of fitina. Wallahi, zina by women is at an all-time high. Masturbation by women, sexual frustration is the biggest cause of it. And it's not justifiable, but try and make sure you do not open that window. Don't make it easy for them to succumb to that temptation. Again, just to check your ego, because my time is literally almost up, is check your ego. Be ready for mutual feedback. You are not perfect and no one else is. If you want your marriage to work, make sure you check your ego. Your ultimate objective in marriage is to hopefully reunite in Al-Jannah. I have spoken to some people who says, I don't want this one there. Please give me somebody else, not this one that I'm married to. So why are you together? Make your Jannah a home. Make it a sanctuary. Make it safe. You know, make yourself attractive. Make peace. Make tranquility in the home. Develop a habit and a culture of gratitude for even the littlest things. Marriage is all about mutual everything, mutual input, and inshallah, mutual output. No marriage can run successfully with one person doing all the work. It's not gonna happen. You are delusional if you feel you are in a happy home where it's your wife doing all the work or your husband is doing all the work and you are just freeloading, sitting there enjoying. Then the last two things I'm going to share with you is develop a code of conduct for your marriage. Like my husband and I, that is our grounding. That is our solid as a rock foundation that we stand on. We have rules that guide us. We don't lie to each other. We don't keep secrets. We hold on tight to Allah's rule. We do things to please Allah. We fulfill our obligations to one another. We speak with respect. So have your own. It can be 5, it can be 20, it can be a gazillion. But both of you need to agree and both of you stay true to it. Both of you stay true to it. I would like to end by asking you just a few questions. Ask yourself right now, the way your relationship is if you are married, especially if you have kids. Are you okay with your children replicating in their homes with their spouse and their children what they are seeing in the two of you right now? Are you okay with them replicating that? And then another question is, do you look forward to coming home to your spouse? Do you look forward to coming home to your spouse? Everything I have said to you today is rubbish. Yes. Everything I've just said is rubbish until you apply it. We complain that our relationship is not good, yet we keep doing the same thing and we expect to get a different result. We listen to lecture upon lecture, make dua upon dua. We get up and do tahajjud, but we're not ready to change what lies within us. We're not ready to change. So what do you want? The input does not produce the right output. We have lecturers. We have scholars sharing all the examples. We have access now more than ever before, yet we are becoming more backwards when it comes to how we relate as a couple. Don't let your spouse do the heavy lifting in the relationship. You sit there and point fingers and you say what they are doing wrong, but you're not doing anything right. Okay, so Micah organized the talk for us today, Saturday the 19th, right? This gathering today wasn't an accident. We are all gathered here today as witnesses for one another. But let the input produce the right output. Allah is going to ask us because ignorance is not an excuse. You have to start somewhere. You want to see change? Start with yourself. Look in the mirror. These game changer questions I'm going to give you right now is my last words. I've been saying last words. This is the real, real last words. The game changer question is what? Ask your spouse today. Sit with your spouse if you're together. If they're not, find a way to talk to your spouse and ask them, what is it that I'm doing wrong in this relationship that you want me to stop? Question number two, what am I doing right that you want me to continue? Question number three is, what is it that you want us to start doing as a couple together that we're not doing at all? And then the last question is, how can I make you happier? How can I make you happier? Turn your home into a thriving garden. Nurture it with love. Nurture it with sunshine and water and nutrients. Add value to it and remove the weeds, starting with the weeds within yourself. Work on building a place that is your sanctuary, that you both look forward to coming home to, that you get children who look forward to mommy and daddy coming home to them, and grow together towards pleasing your maker. May Allah forgive me for where I may have erred. May Allah continue to guide and bless all of you who have shown up today. Those of you on YouTube, those of you on Zoom, and those of you on Instagram, Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah bless you in the best manner. Thank you so much to Micah for organizing this event. May it be a witness for us, inshallah, in the life to come. Assalamu alaikum.